welcome to the Chelsea Skidmore Show.
Hey, Chelsea. Good to be here. Your tits look so beautiful and
Thank you.
Filled with milk.
They are so full. And they constantly, what happens is that if I think about my baby or talk about her, it you feel it like sparking. It's like a really weird sensation.
Like a little, like whenever I see like a Chris Hemsworth, I get a little like fanny flutter.
Is that who that would be for you?
Yeah. I like long hair. Like anytime I see like a long hair guy, I'm like, I get a little fanny flutter. But my sister said anytime her baby cries too, she feels her like a little feeling in her breast. So yeah, can't wait for that.
I went to music class with her and I wore a white t-shirt and I don't know why I leaked in the music class.
You're like, this is meant to be.
There wasn't even like a hot dad. I don't know why. But when I walked out, there was like a huge circle. But thank God it was like with all these parents and they're like, okay,
yeah, they don't care.
We get it. But it's mortifying for
Isn't there like a pad that you can
put? Yeah, I wear them.
But you wear sometimes, boob pads?
Yeah, they're like these.
Stop. That's what a boob pad looks like?
Yeah. So you stick them in your bra and it absorbs the milk that comes out. But like sometimes they move around and like. like my bra will shift, so it like won't be covering, and that's when it like leaks. Or
that is so
it's
wild.
Annoying though, because you have to change them like multiple times a day. It's a whole fucking thing.
It's a whole thing. Your body just becomes like a factory.
It's so much, and then it's like, and then you're swimming in milk all day long. You're constantly feeding, and then at the end of the night, when Steven's like, "I want to hook up," it's like you have to milk every person in the family.
It's like, true. You're like next.
Yes.
Who's next?
It's a lot. So enjoy it while you can.
No, does he ever suck a little breast milk for himself? Just like it's so sweet.
It is sweet.
Yeah.
And he tries to sometimes, but I used to enjoy that. I used to like it if he like licked my nipples or something. But now it just feels weird. And like,
nope.
First of all, that's for her.
That's for the baby.
Yeah. Like, I don't want him to take her food supply.
But just like a little squirt in the coffee, I feel like is good for your.
Yeah,
is it not good for you?
It is good for you. Vitamins, stuff like that.
Did you eat your placenta? Did you do any weird?
I was going to, and I had originally always thought I would, but then I learned that it's actually not good for you. And it's kind of, I think, like an LA thing to do that.
John is over there. He wants to kill himself.
he had to deal with so many episodes like this from me already.
But it's so intriguing. Like, I feel like so many people don't even understand how much of it, like, you know, it's your entire body becomes a completely different thing. It's not your own anymore, right?
Crazy.
You live for her. And I'm ready for that part of my life where I'm not so self-obsessed, you know, where I'm not like, come to see this show. Come to, you know, and where I'm just like, what does she need? What is, you know, I love that.
You think that.
I think that, and
then
it happens.
But once you're there, it's like so much.
I have this one already.
I know. And is that a lot for you?
No. I was away from her for a week, and it was so weird. I had like weird anxiety, separation anxiety, and then I would also wake up and be like, where is she? Like in the bed?
Like, okay, so that's what you do with the baby.
Yeah.
You wake up because you fall asleep like when you're feeding, and then you're like, oh my God, where is she? And then you're like, okay, she's in the bassinet. Wait, where do you board her?
I don't. Okay. I've never boarded her.
So we board our dog at WAG Hotels, which has cameras. And then I obsessively watch
That's
the cameras.
What I would do.
And you can talk to them and be like, mommy loves you. Hi. And Steven's like, are you okay?
I just did the Stern wrap-up show. And they were saying how they like watch their kid. Or no, Chris Estefano was like, I watch my kid at kindergarten. You have a camera. You can watch him at daycare. But there's no volume. So you're like, why is she all alone over there? Like, go talk to her. You know, but they encourage the parents not to look. You know?
Yeah, I think that's too far. Watching the kids, like watching a dog, is okay, but the kids, it's
you got to let them like develop their own sense of right.
Yeah,
like, themselves.
Did you see the Black Mirror episode of when the mom put like the chip in the daughter and was like consistently watching her?
That show gives me so much fucking anxiety because guess what? Robots are coming for us, and if you guys don't think that, you're fucking idiots. I say yes, please, thank you, I love you, I appreciate you to my Google every day.
Really?
Yeah. And when I come back, I'm like, I love you. Do you love me back? She's like, I can't experience those feelings, but I appreciate you. And I'm like, that's right.
You are ready for a kid. Okay. I forget.
Yeah, I know.
You're ready to give that to someone else.
Well, I feel like I do that with my boyfriend anyway. And like growing up, I was really close with my sister and my sister was kind of like, whatever. And I'm the one like picking up her backpack and like, does she need any homework? Like, and the teachers called my parents and were like, hi, Jade is like a little too micromanaging on Bianca. And I think that's something.
Your sister's name is Bianca?
Yeah.
Okay. Two hot names. Jade and Bianca.
It's because my parents were artists and they love the color green and white. Because Bianca is Blanca and then green for Jade. But
that's so pretty. Is she really hot too?
She's a lot hotter than me.
She is?
Yeah.
Let me see a pic.
I will. Well, she just had a baby, but she's back into her pre mom.
How did she, do you know what
she did?
Circuit
training. Like she hardcore works out.
Was she like, it's so hard?
No, she got back into it really quickly. She played lacrosse in school. Yeah. So she's like very athletic, but I want to find a good one.
What is circuit training?
Circuit training is kind of like from station to station.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't like that shit.
What do you do?
I do Zumba and I have a trainer as well. I do weightlifting. Yeah. I recommend weightlifting.
Weight is the best, right?
I agree.
How many days a week do you do that?
I do twice a week. Well, I do once a week with her, but I do twice a week, like the same routine she does with me. I do like
in
2 days.
So we're doing weights 3 times a week.
We're doing weights 3 times a week and then lots of fucking and then Zumba. Yeah.
Interesting.
I want to find a hot photo of my sis. She doesn't post on Instagram like ever.
When you do a Zumba class,
yeah.
Is this a co-ed class?
Well, the teacher is like this fabulous gay man named Hector. Hector, I see you. And sometimes a guy shows up and it changes the whole dynamic.
Right?
We're all just like trying a little harder.
Can you, do you like let loose in dance class? I don't have the self-confidence to do a dance class.
Oh my God. I go harder than everybody. When my friends come, they laugh the entire time because I'm going way, like I'm the Nick Carter of the group. Have you ever seen Backstreet Boys live? He goes so hard. You're like, whoa, Nick, like
really?
A little less. And that's how I am
in
Zumba.
When was the last time you saw them?
Like I saw them a few months ago when they were here in LA.
That's so
and
funny.
They were like so sexual. Like
really?
Nick was like, he's like,
were all of them there?
No, just they were all there. Yeah.
Did they look so old?
No, they looked good. I was just like, damn, they still fucking got it. Like,
yeah.
It was cool to see that they were like kind of irrelevant for a second, and then they had this like, they became relevant again. It's so cool to see them come back. Yeah, I mean, it was sold out.
Yeah.
If they're doing these like sold out tours, I feel like people want it.
I guess
you know?
It's like the new Kids on the Block. Like coming, the comeback tour.
The comeback, yeah.
That's so funny.
It's cool because it's like we always think about ourselves, right, as this like mountain we have to climb, and it is really true. It's like just these little hills, right, and like just sticking to it and like enjoying the moments that are up and then chilling on the moments that are down. And
so important.
It's crazy. I mean, think about how many lives we've lived just knowing each other, like here in LA. Like how much crazy shit we've gone through, mostly with one person that we won't talk about. But
somehow he finds his way to this podcast.
I know, but... it's so crazy because we're all weirdly trauma bonded. That's what I always say. And like, it's hard to differentiate. Like, are we really good friends? Or are we just trauma bonded?
Totally.
And so I've been trying to be like a little better because I take care of all those guys, right? Like coming up, I would always, and then I expect it back and then I don't get it. And I'm like, wait a minute. So I'm adjusting my expectations so I can stay friends with more people.
That's good.
Yeah.
And not giving too much to those who aren't kind of being aware of what's being reciprocated.
Yeah, and they don't even know, you know what I mean?
I'm no,
like for someone to crash at my place, I'm like I've got to really like you. Like I'm very OCD and you know, and I'm opening my home to these dudes and then I'm like, "Can I crash?" And they're like, "I live on somebody else's couch." You're like, "No. Never mind."
So, you mentioned your boyfriend. Where did you meet him?
So, we met almost 3 years ago now. I met him like literally 2 weeks before pandemic. Like officially.
That's so nice.
Yeah, and then our whole relationship was like FaceTime in the beginning.
Ooh.
Like we would just talk all day on the phone. And
no, but he was on a reality show.
Oh yeah. So he was, okay. So he's in finance, but he had just gone like through a really bad breakup and was on Hinge, like just trying to like get
Perfect.
His mojo back. And some casting director was like, "Hey, would you do Temptation Island?"
Temptation Island?
Yeah.
What season?
Oh, I don't know. Whatever was like 2.5, 3 years ago.
No, I know. But like,
but he looks so 40? Different now. Maybe. Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's so fun.
What's the host names? Like,
I don't
okay,
remember.
Okay, Marky Mark. What's his name?
Mark Wahlberg?
Okay, Mark. His name is Mark Wahlberg. But it's another Mark Wahlberg.
That's your boyfriend's name?
No, the host of Temptation Island.
Oh, really? Okay.
He's like the second Mark Wahlberg. John,
that's
am I right?
So odd.
Right? That's his name, right?
You know that?
And he got... yeah, see? He's the other Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, that's so bizarre. Oh, yeah. That is that guy.
Yeah, and he's got brand
oh
new teeth.
God.
And they look expensive.
Wow. Look
like
at
he's
shots.
Got a whole, yeah, he's got a really big.
Okay. So he was on Temptation Island.
He's on Temptation Island.
On the soup.
I saw, no, that's not even when it happened. So Temptation Island had like a, I don't even know how to call it, but they pulled everybody from Temptation Island and did it like a revamp of the show called X on the Peak.
Okay.
Where it was like X on the Beach. So they would like put a couples in there and then bring their exes and be like, do you want to be with your ex or with this guy? Mm-hmm. And he wasn't even dating the girl. So it was just like a full fake thing. And he was like, yeah, I'll do it. And he was on both of the shows for like a hot second. He actually broke his shoulder on Temptation Island.
How?
They were like just drunk, slipped, fell, and he wanted to be like a good... He should have sued them. He would have been so much better off. But he didn't, and he just like took Valium and was like, in the episode, like, it's really funny.
Is it true that they pump everyone on those shows full of alcohol?
Full of alcohol. They were like, okay, you can only drink Hennessy or vodka. That's really what he was saying. Yeah.
Hennessy people, or vodka.
Yeah, they just had like very specific alcohol. And they were like,
the way they're mixed and presented on screen.
Maybe it's just like what they had, but they were like encouraging mm-hmm. them to drink.
Yeah.
One. And then they also isolate them severely. Like they put them in a hotel for 2 weeks without their phone.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time they see people, they're like, They're really hungry for connection. That's why they're all like falling in love and like,
oh my God.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So
I see him on the show. I'm like, oh my God. And I'm not running my social media at the time because The Soup was paying for it, which I can't wait to get back there again. Have somebody else do it for me.
That's so nice.
Somebody else pay for it. And so the girl told me, she's like, it's the guy that you think is hot. Because everybody on the show knew I thought he was hot.
Yeah.
Because I kept pitching him for other bits. And they were like, Jade, we're not going to bring back the guy from X on the Peak. And I'm like, come on, it'd be so funny.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah. I have a video. I'll send it to you, John. It's like literally me making fun of him on The Soup. And then it's like cut to me shaving his asshole. It's so romantic.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
You shaved his asshole?
I've shaved it a few times.
His asshole?
Yeah.
Okay, so was this a bit on the show or personal life?
Personal life.
How?
I just like a clean every... I just like
so
clean over
there.
So did
you say, will you shave mine?
Yeah. should I start a business?
I've got my... It's a Brazilian... Brazilian.
Yeah, I like to... I go in with like the... And then they'll... But he's gotten it waxed a couple times. Yeah.
I've gotten mine waxed.
Yeah, I like it. I like getting mine waxed. It feels good.
Have it's you like, ever... I know. Yeah. That's the part that hurts the least and feels the best.
I agree. It feels good. Like, ooh.
Mm-hmm. Wait, hold on. So how did that conversation go?
Oh, of him. I was like, hey, I want to get more in your butt. Can I shave it? And he was like, mm-hmm.
Oh, so you like to eat ass?
I don't like to eat ass, but I like to be able to like not feel like a little bundle of hair there. Mm-hmm. It grosses me out. And then I feel like it's better for dudes. Like they don't get like weird dingleberries and stuff.
Right. And you just wanted to play with the perineum?
Yeah, I just wanted like I like a bear. I like that freeway to be just clear. No traffic. No hair traffic.
That's so
I just
funny.
Think it's like cleaner. It just like keeps
that's
it cleaner.
That's a good girlfriend.
Thanks.
And I'm sure that really brought you guys closer.
Yeah, I feel like I knew right away because he was weird in the same way.
Yeah.
Like where stuff like that didn't bother him. Like
right.
I had that bit that I told about like not farting in front of my partner for like 10 years.
Yeah.
And now it's such a, I'm so relaxed. It's like, why was I like that?
Yeah.
It just wasn't my person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think once you find your person, like, and now when I fart, he's like, let me smell it. And I'm like, okay, you're going too far. It's gone too far.
That's so funny.
It's fun.
Yeah. That's like, our house is disgusting. Once you can find that person you're so comfortable with, you don't know what you're doing before that.
Right. And then you feel bad for everybody that comes over. You're like, I'm sorry about how we act around each other. We have zero boundaries.
So you got him on the show, you did a bit with him and then...
Yeah. And then he like tweeted something. And by the way, when he tells this story, he loves to tell the tweet. He said something about him like being a douchey prince or looking like a douchey prince. He's hot. So I was like, yes. And then I actually DM'd him and I was like, hey, it was like right before my birthday that year. I was like, come to my birthday. He's like, I live in Dallas. I was like, whoa. Like, so then we just started talking and then the pandemic hit and I was like, can I FaceTime you? Mm-hmm. I just was like bored. I was like, should I just do this? And right away it was like, we just like clicked and we just kept talking and he actually had like a tiny bit of his tooth missing and I didn't notice for
like
months. You do? I was like, get that shit fixed immediately. He came to my doctor.
Nice.
Dr. Adute. He does a lot of comics.
Okay.
And now he's here. So it's been almost 3 years.
He moved here?
Yeah. So he moved here.
For you?
For me.
Wow.
And for the LA lifestyle.
Yeah.
He used to live here before.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love that. Has he done any Temptation Island stuff since you guys have been together?
No, because I make fun of him so much about it. I think. And no, he's in finance. He works at a hedge fund and he's got a dream and his purpose and stuff like that. And I think it was just kind of a YOLO moment.
Like a weird, funny thing to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's kind of, I feel like it's kind of embarrassing. But hey, you do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if I had gotten on a reality TV, I would have been a lot further.
Have you done reality TV?
I mean, this show that I'm hosting now is a reality show.
What?
But I show, no, it's called Hotties. I have a new show called Hotties on Hulu.
What is this?
Bring it up, John.
Did this come out?
It did. It just came out 3 weeks ago. Oh, so it's like really new. Okay. But it's perfect for at-home moms, honestly.
What? Wait, congrats. It's fun.
Thanks.
Wait.
Why?
I wish it came up right away.
Wait, Hotties Chicken comes up before my show? That's bullshit. We need to get a search engine. We need to get an SEO.
What is this?
So it's a hybrid dating cooking competition. So funny. Like, so they basically go on a date.
What?
Matt took that. Matt Misisco.
Yeah. Oh, he's great.
He's amazing.
Oh my God.
And yeah, so they go on a blind date and they have to cook a meal. But yes. Meanwhile, we feed them like super spicy stuff every 15 minutes. It's such a shit show. I'm so proud of it. This is the proudest thing I've ever done.
Really?
Yeah. Cause they let me be myself. Like I was completely like, it changed my whole brain about like who, cause I think I portrayed myself as this very like,
really?
Even though I wasn't.
I didn't see you that way.
No, I feel like maybe for TV stuff, like on The Soup, I didn't really get to be like very loose.
Really?
Like, yeah, just because I think I was so nervous about the brand and not talking about weed or cursing or like, and so now this is just like, this is very raunchy. It's TVMA, so.
Yeah. Oh, that's so fun. And like, and they've encouraged you to really just like, do whatever you want.
Personality-wise.
Yeah,
they hired
that's
me for
amazing.
Me, and for once they like kept the promise. And J. Chris Newberg wrote on it with me, he's a genius.
That's like, such a good feeling. I was actually thinking on the way here to ask you, you know, because you have done so many things. Like, what has been one of the most exciting things for you to work on?
This has been the most exciting because, like, whatever came to my mind, like they used it, and the editing was done so well. This girl named Cam did it, and it was just such a collaboration. The producers were good. And it was all women at Hulu that worked with us. All women at Bright Spot, the production company.
Yeah.
And we just filmed it so quickly. It happened so fast. But then we got to go back and do voiceover and stuff. We actually filmed in Santa Clarita at Vasquez Mountains. Mm. Vasquez Rocks.
So they brought food trucks and like created a...
Yeah, the whole set is built from scratch. They did an incredible job. The show looks really good. Like it's really bright and beautifully shot. And
that's so fun.
I'm
oh my God,
so
you
proud
look
of
amazing.
It. Thanks. I was actually hiding my mic in that photo. I can't believe that.
Oh, that's so funny.
Like I actually think my butt is bigger too. So I was kind of like upset about that. But
wait, so where did you grow up?
I actually grew up in Brazil, São Paulo.
So actually, okay. Yeah. Tell me about your...
My grow up?
Yeah.
So I grew up in São Paulo, Brazil, in like an apartment with my parents. My mom is from Brazil. My dad
was born there.
Yeah, born and raised there. My grandfather was a diplomat, so he traveled around everywhere. Okay. But he was technically born in America in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I have my citizenship.
Nice.
But when I was about to turn 12, we moved to Charlottesville, Virginia for my dad's job. He used to make holograms.
Really?
I need to write a sitcom. Yeah.
Holograms?
Holograms.
What do you mean?
Like, you know, the little sticker on your credit card?
Hologram. Yeah. Okay. So that specifically?
Yeah. Stuff like that and that. And now he gets mad when people say the Tupac thing. Oh, she's so cute. She's a little.
Hi, Cheryl. Shout out to Cheryl. Little Chihuahua on the floor.
Cheryl Thigh Gap, a Flalo Catapretta. She's mini pincher Chihuahua. Okay. I got her DNA. Tested.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so then you moved to South Carolina?
Oh, Virginia.
Virginia, sorry.
Yeah. I'll give it to you because
I'm a mom.
You've got pregnancy brain. Moved there, and it was just like a weird transition. Like, I wasn't really happy in Charlottesville as a kid.
Yeah,
you know?
I imagine that was a culture shock being in Brazil that whole time up until then. And especially, like, the way that people probably present themselves and, like, their bodies and...
Even when I go home now, I, like... don't wear as bright of clothes. Like, I can see myself shift. Like, my sister's like, is that the bathing suit you're wearing to the Keswick Country Club? I'm like, oh, sorry. I don't have any of that.
In Virginia?
Yeah, because they're still living there.
Oh.
And when I go back, I love it. But I still do feel that sense of, like, Southern mentality of, like, I think that's when I created this, like, personality that is not really mine that I think I put out to the world for a long time.
Oh.
You know, this sort of, like... like, good girl, you know, like appropriate, even though I'm not.
I don't see that person. I don't,
because you don't get to see that because you see the comedy person. But like, if I'm in a room for like, you know, work or something, I'm very like.
But what's the difference between that and being like a professional and subdued and not being like, wah, 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 like in a.
I don't know. I think it's just like, that weird Southern. I have like the part of me that's like my grandma that's like, keep it together. And then I have the part of me that's like my mom and my dad was like, fuck it. So I'm becoming more of that fuck it person. And.
Mm-hmm.
I like it more. I feel like more myself. And I'm almost 40, so I can't believe it took me that long.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like that? Like, it's just like, still figuring out.
Still growing into yourself.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think back and it's like, I would never want to be in my 20s again. Like,
same.
I'm turning 35 next week. And
Muslim.
Thanks. And like, I don't feel like... I remember when I was like younger, I'd be like, oh, I don't want to get older. But like, I don't, like, I feel like the best me that I am today. And like,
yeah, mentally. I mean, I want my body to get, I want my body to get younger. Oh, she's going to, hey.
Cheryl.
She's going to attack somebody. Sorry. Oh.
I never knew her to be like this. Yeah. We have Cheryl in the podcast room and she's exploring meeting people. Cheryl.
No, she's good in here.
Like, little cutie. Cheryl. Does she sleep in the bed?
Oh, she sleeps inside me.
My dog sleeps under the covers on a pillow like a person.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. Like,
so how much back and forth were you doing between Brazil?
None.
And
no, we didn't. We didn't go back for like 20 years until I went back and filmed a documentary with like a crew.
I remember that.
Yeah, still hasn't come out.
What happened? Yeah, what happened with that?
We're submitting to festivals this year.
Okay, fine.
It was like attached to production companies, and then nobody bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we're just gonna do it on our own. I think more and more I'm learning that like
that's great.
I don't.
You have to do things on your own.
Finally, like I released my special on my own. Everybody watch it. It's on YouTube. And it's just exciting to like be able to do it on your own, but it does feel like sometimes a little overwhelming. Like I wish I had somebody telling me what to do.
Yeah.
But that's the reality. No, like
that's
it's up
just
to
the
you.
Actress in you. We need more of the director in you.
I know. I like I like just showing up. There is a part of me that just likes showing up, knowing my line. Like I want to be on a sitcom again so bad. Like that's the manifestation right now.
Really?
And I've tried to pitch stuff, but you know, just hasn't clicked yet. So I'm really hoping. It's so funny because I was like focusing on that and now I'm focusing on like all the social media stuff and that's bringing me so many more opportunities within the industry. I'm like, what the fuck? I should have been doing this. I just,
it's so crazy.
I always thought it was like kind of cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's below me and I'm like, it's.
But now you see it working for you.
Yeah. Now I see that it's like a great way to reach people and I can like directly talk to people and I'm just trying to figure out like who my fans, who my fans are, like who's watching my stuff. Like
so
I really want to feel connected.
Engaging with your audience.
Yeah. I want to like know who you are. I want to know like why you like my scent. Like I want, cause I don't know. Like, cause mostly at first I would just get dudes hating on me.
Yeah.
And now it's gotten a little better where they're like starting to respect me a little more. And now I'm trying to figure out like, is it women that want to do comedy? Is it women who are like 50s and they're divorced? Mm-hmm. It can't just be all dudes
do
who want to fuck
people quickly.
I restrict.
Oh, okay.
So restricting is better because you still get their comment and their engagement, but then nobody else can see it.
That's so
And then
funny.
They get upset because nobody's liking their comment.
But is that TikTok that you restrict?
No, on Instagram.
Oh, I didn't know you can restrict.
I have to figure out how to do that on Facebook.
Okay.
And Facebook has been great, which I was like, Facebook's for parents, but the Facebook fan page has been like an incredible way to connect with people for me. And thank you for everybody who's been I have a video that just went to 3 million this morning. It was very exciting.
Amazing.
3 million people.
Yeah.
Like, even when you do a sitcom or TV, like not that many people see
it.
It's like
so crazy.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm. Are you obsessed with TikTok?
I'm obsessed in the time. Like sometimes I'll get on and I look up and it's been like an hour and a half. I'm like,
yeah,
what the fuck? But I'm getting better because somebody's running it for me now. So I'm like,
I got kicked off TikTok.
What'd you do?
I posted a video. It went viral overnight and got 4 million views. And then they removed my profile 2 days later.
Why? What was it? Dirty?
It was this crazy video of me putting my mouth under a chocolate fountain. And I did that on my honeymoon like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But I posted it during COVID, not thinking anything of it. And everyone thought that it was like something in real time that I did in Europe. And they're like, this dumb American, like during COVID. And like so many people freaked out that I think they blocked me for posting, like, it was during, like, the super sensitive, like, beginning of COVID.
When I was on The Soup and I, like, felt so bad being like, watch my show. I know everybody's dying, but, yeah, it was a weird
time.
But
you have to promote.
I know, but it came and went.
Can we just talk about how amazing it was to have that billboard, though?
Oh, my God, wait. That's so funny.
I know.
Oh, my God. So I met with those guys for that movie, and then I didn't get it. They were like, it's totally going to be you. It's totally going to be you.
Yeah.
And then I didn't get it.
The guy who I sent the text to, who said he saw outside his room.
Oh, yeah. So let's explain. So we're talking, like, in code. I had a billboard. It was the most exciting thing so far ever in my life.
So
on
fun.
Sunset, down the street. Even
huge.
Though they would not even put me on the marquee here while I had it. I was like, Adam, come on, man. My crotch is down the street. And her friend literally lived across the street. And like when he opened his window, it was my billboard. So he sent her a photo and she sent it to me. It was just the funniest thing.
Like, yeah.
I love that. Yeah. They did a movie, this really weird movie about like hell. And there was like a comic in hell performing. But I didn't get it.
Oh, that's funny. Wait, so how did you know that was going to be there? Did they tell you? Like, did you, is that
they
E's
told me.
Billboard?
Yeah. They told me there was like, there's going to be a billboard. And I was like, holy shit.
And then
shit.
Were you like, okay, but where?
No, I didn't know where. They didn't know where it was going to be.
How did you find out?
I begged them. I was like, can it be the Undaz one? Because can you imagine overlooking the Comedy Store?
That's so amazing.
That's still the dream.
Wait, how do you say it? I thought it was called Undaz.
How did you say it? How did I say it? Undaz. What did I say?
You said something slightly different.
Undaz?
Undaz.
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 Oh, I see. I put it on the emphasis. TV? No, it was incredible. And then it's so funny because I was so mesmerized by it. Like,
wait,
oh my God.
Did someone tell you or did you see it yourself?
They sent me a picture.
Okay. So then
I had to do the photo shoot.
And you're like, wait, I know that spot. Where is that? And they're like,
no, they told me where it's going to be. They were like, it's going to be on like La Cienega and Sunset.
Oh,
I cried.
Did you die?
I died. I was like hysterical. Like, and then when I saw it for the first time, I just sat in that parking lot at Joe's Pizza
just bawling. I can't even imagine.
And then it's so funny because it was supposed to be taken down like right away because they're so expensive. Oh. But because of COVID, it stayed up for like 6 months.
Yes!
It was like the longest standing board, like billboard there.
Shut.
We found out.
Up.
The cutest thing. Okay, so
how good did it feel driving by?
I mean, I drove it by. I didn't even drive over there. I just would turn around and drive it. When Cam came to visit me, it was like COVID. Like my friends were like, we're not going to see you for a month after he leaves. I'm like, okay. Like everyone's so sensitive. Yeah. He's like, can we go see your billboard on Thursday? And I was like, we can go see it like whenever. Like, and he's like, let's go at Thursday at like 2. And I was like, okay. And then it turns out we went and we were like standing under, he got his friend who's a photographer, like from a distance to get a photo, to snap a photo of us. And he framed it and gave it to me. And it's so cool, but it's so wild because it was like, everything's dead. Mm. Like, and it's just us under the billboard.
Cool.
Like, it's really trippy.
That's cool.
And that was like the very first sweet gesture. And I was like,
yeah,
I love stuff like that.
Amongst many others
and a clean butthole, you know?
Yeah.
What else could you ask for?
That's so cute.
Is my dog, is Cheryl out there?
Right next to you.
Oh, good.
Oh, hello.
I remember Fahim when he was on the one above Pink Dot. He was like, oh, yeah, I just looked up. And I was like, oh, that's how that feels. Like, it's either like
that's
you're
it?
Numb to it, I guess.
Oh, I'm
or
not.
Or like it's incredible. So
no,
I was curious.
I'm not. I'm a total vain piece of shit. Like,
yeah.
They still have a soup thing at Universal.
Mm-hmm.
And when my dad came to visit, like, we went over there just so I could show him the tiny thing on the wall. Like, oh, yeah. My headshot being on this wall means so much to me. The name, like, it's just such, because those are the things I romanticized before I was here. And it just, you know, people romanticize it as well. Like, you get to represent for people who don't look like me, who don't come from the same background, you know, and it's cool. There's not that many women too.
Yeah.
So
you came to LA and you started working at the Comedy Store as a waitress.
I was the bartender out front.
Oh, the bartender. Sorry.
Yeah. Get it right, Chelsea.
And you hadn't done stand up at that point, right?
No,
you
zero.
You were just pursuing acting?
I was pursuing acting and hosting. I had done a lot of hosting stuff in college.
Okay. Wait, where'd you go to college? Emerson?
I went to Emerson.
Oh, yeah. I just remember because Dana.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah.
So funny.
I'm remembering all this shit now.
I know. So Emerson is like the showbiz school, right?
It is. It's like very competitive. Like, you basically come out already having had so many connections. Like, everybody I know
is. Was that true for you?
100%. Like, everybody's incredibly professional and driven. Like, I did something like 100 student films while I was in school. And all of these guys are all like, you know, directors now. And my roommate, our house was, I was an actress. There was a makeup artist, a production designer, and a costume designer.
Perfect.
So we were like shooting stuff all the time.
Oh,
and
that's so fun.
It was so fun. And then we lived next to another Emerson house. And I'm very grateful for Emerson, even though I still owe them a lot of fucking
money. Wait, and that's Boston.
In Boston.
Right? Okay. How close is that to Harvard?
Oh, so close.
So did you, at like local bars or parties, were you always like mixing with Harvard guys?
Trying. But then I just like fucked a couple comics instead.
Oh, okay. And had you done stand-up at that point at all?
No, but my friends were like obsessed with stand-up. They always wanted, like Eliza went to my college. So I'd seen her a couple times do stand-up. And I just remember thinking like, why would anybody do this?
Mm-hmm.
Like it just felt, I was coming from an actor perspective too, where
but
I felt
were you
like
always like this very open, silly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was always very like, I can get my leg up here. Like I was really obsessed with Broadway and being on Broadway, and I studied musical theater. That was my major. So I was really obsessed with that, and then got into improv and started doing more like comedy film stuff. And then I was like, I kind of always like looked up to stand up comics, but I just always felt like not for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I would go to comedy shows all the time because my best friend was obsessed. We actually went to see Joe List a bunch, which is so funny now because we're friends. But and I just remember thinking, like, it's just so cringy and every joke is making fun of women. Like, I started to get frustrated. I was like, I'm so sick of this. Like, and I would heckle. I would be the person that's like, tell a joke. Like, I would like say stuff. I can't believe I'm admitting this. But I think it's because I personally wanted to do it really.
Right.
And I hadn't come to terms with it. You know, when we're new, like.
Yeah, totally.
And then you would do an intern when you come out to LA, like at a casting office or. And one of my friends had a internship at National Lampoon.
Oh.
And Sandy Danto had a show there. And I got hired on that show to be the host. And that's how I got brought into the Comedy Store from. Sandy brought me here.
Oh, that's so funny.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah. So you came and like, what was your perception initially?
I mean, I had never been here.
What year was that?
This was 2008.
Okay.
So I remember, I tell the story all the time because I feel like it's like this moment, but I remember we came to see Adam Ray. Adam Ray was on some Bringer show in the main room. We got super high. It was like one of the first times I had ever gotten like weed high, like California weed high. And I was just like, whoa. And I remember I saw him, I saw Kathy, and then Chris Rock showed up. It was like one of those crazy nights. And then we just hung out, like smoked weed, hung out. And I remember like going through the kitchen doors and like feeling like I'd been here before, like overwhelmingly, like deja vu kind of feeling. And I was still pretty confident. So that night I told Dean, I was like, I want to work here. And he was like, girls only do wait staff because I wanted to work the door.
Yeah.
Because I thought if I took tickets, I could like hear comedy and like just be, you know, around it. And then 2 days later, he called me. He's like, you want to bartend? Like the girl.
And had you bartended before?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've been like in the service industry for like since I was like 14.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy because I'm in an acting class now and we're all talking outside. And this girl's like, oh, I used to work at the Comedy Store. I'm like, wait, were you the bartender? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, wait, why did you like quit randomly? She's like, I booked a sitcom. So then I left. And I was like, if you hadn't booked that sitcom,
my God.
I wouldn't have started working at the Comedy Store. And I would have never gotten into stand-up.
Yeah.
Because I like always wanted an in, you know? Yeah. I felt like overwhelmed by not having an in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, yeah.
What class are you in?
I take Steve Berg's class.
Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty great, but it's... The time commitment, it can be a little overwhelming when you're doing other
multiple
stuff.
Multiple times a week?
Yeah, it's a 4-hour class once a week, but you also have to rehearse. And like, I wasn't having any time to rehearse, so I'm taking a little
how
pause.
How is it? Have you been off and on in classes throughout?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how is it being in a class?
I love class.
Yeah.
I think I think oftentimes we get like, we know everything. It's like,
right.
I just took a comedy class too, like 3 months ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, with that guy?
Gary. Oh my God, what's his last name? Oh my God. Can you look it up? Jerry Katzman. Oh my God, I'm so sorry, Jerry. You're delicious. I love you. Incredible class. I recommend
Nicole
it.
Nicole told me about a class.
It's an accountability class, basically. You meet once a week, 9 weeks. Uh-huh. It's long class.
Yeah.
And every
to get new stuff.
Yeah. And every class you have like a new premise that you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing is like about setting up positivity and support, which I never had in comedy. Mm-hmm. Shocker.
Yeah.
Like, because I would tell guys new jokes and be like, yeah, like, they never really took me seriously. Like, even the guys I came up with, I think were like, oh, it's a thing you do, but it's not like your full thing. And it was nice having a class. Like, every time you tell a joke, the whole class would have to say something positive about you.
Yeah.
And it's like this weird thing that kind of like shifted my perspective of myself, even though the whole time I was like, fuck this class. I fucking do stand up. You know, like, I have that. But it really helped me like feel supported and feel good and have a different outlook on how to write and structurally how to do jokes versus what I was doing.
What did anything click in specifically that hadn't before from doing the class?
Yeah, like structurally how to come up with premises. Like if I have an idea of like, because what I would do is like, oh, that's funny. I'll try to say it on stage and see how it comes out and what gets a laugh. And then I would go from there. But then now I'm like, no, I know I want to talk about this. I like do the whole process thing where I like do a little bubbling and like, and then I do like, what's weird about this? What's strange about this? I do that whole thing. And then I see where it fits into my special, like my, this new hour that I'm trying to write. Before it was just like survival, really.
Yeah. Just and now, trying to come up with some new stuff and throw
exactly.
it out there.
Like
I'm like more intentional and specific.
It's intentional because like, I love my special. I'm very proud of it. Jaded on YouTube, comedy, Helium. Studios, Helium Comedy Studios.
Helium, which, where?
It's at Helium Comedy Studios. No. If you guys haven't seen it, it's on YouTube.
But not Helium Comedy Club.
It's through Helium.
Which location?
I did it at the Philly one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I love the Portland Helium.
Oh.
Incredible.
Everything in Portland is incredible. but I want this next special, this next hour to feel like I less broad and like really about how I feel and who I am. And like, yeah, so it's exciting. Like stand up has taken this whole new
turn
for me. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Like it's, you should be developing as a comic.
Only took
like,
15 years.
Yeah. But I think it's like, you're always going to go through phases, and as you grow and get older, like your comedy and perspective is going to change and what you talk about. So that makes total sense.
Yeah. And now you have all this baby material.
I know.
That's the best part.
It's yeah.
You're like, I just had this baby really for the material. Who wants a baby?
It's like, I don't even know where to begin. It's a lot.
But it was fun making it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting. Wait, what was I watching last night about? Oh, I watched the new episode of The Kardashians last night.
Same, bawling.
You did?
Bawling. Yeah. I couldn't wait.
It was so uncomfortable to watch.
It was horrible. I feel horrible for
Khloe. It's like hard to really like weigh in on this, and like it was just weird. I mean, like I think it's great they like really put it out there, but like I feel really terrible for that kid.
I know, but the kid is like, the kid can still have this incredible life and like being brought in.
It was just like,
it doesn't have to affect it. Yeah.
Was like wild.
But they have to change the energy around it. That's why they had to reveal it. Like, I feel
so. That's why they needed to do our stroller.
Literally. Like, I just feel like Khloe always gets the brunt of it. Like,
horrible.
She always has to go through all of it.
I didn't even know that happened the first time for that to happen. I knew that he had cheated on her.
I know. It kind of feels like he's just trying to get a free ride.
It's sick. And it's what sick. Do they do?
Oh, what do you mean?
To like their bodies.
Oh, like, well, I think what Khloe looks very thin.
Very, very but, like, thin. What did she do? I want to do it.
Well, she actually works out pretty hard.
I know, but there's more.
There's got to be more. Oh, yeah.
Is it like lipo?
It's M Sculpt. Yeah, it's M Sculpt.
Do you know about those things?
Oh, like, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. I do a lot of social media trades for that stuff.
Oh, you do?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So M Sculpt is incredible.
What's that?
So it's
is
a
that
thing,
like a cool sculpting?
I haven't
not?
Done cool sculpting because either, that model like got all fucked up and I got scared.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
So John, what's that? Who's that model who got like incredibly disfigured from
You're working today.
I like cool sculpting model disfigured.
Model gone wrong.
Yes.
Wait,
Linda
what?
Evangelista.
Her?
She got it and it was like, it like disfigured her.
No.
And she sued them. She won.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, click on the first one.
Oh, he's gone.
Where did he go?
He's busy. Okay,
what? Oh, can you click on the first one, please?
Yeah. I want to know what her...
Wait, so what's M Sculpting while he
so pulls M Sculpt is like this thing that you can do on any part of
the
your body.
The vibrating thing.
It's a vibrating thing. It's basically like 500 squats. So I did it on my butt and then none of my pants fit.
Everyone sees.
None of my pants fit. None of my butt
fit. Does it lift it or what
it does?
It
lift it so much.
And it really works.
It really
does it
works.
Hurt?
Yes,
it hurts
because it's like
to
doing.
My friend too.
Huh?
My friend also had the same thing that Linda Evangelista. It scarred her whole stomach.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, so I wouldn't do cold sculpting just because this freaked me out.
So is this? Did it freeze or burn?
I don't know what happened. Oh, I guess that happened.
What? Okay.
See how
that like sagging
that weird
the
lump there.
Thing?
Also,
it's a bum.
Also, it's like. She's still this beautiful model. Like
I know.
that really doesn't bother me.
That?
But I get it. Yeah.
Oh my god. Okay, I want to see. Like,
I want to see like pictures.
Give us a revealing.
Oh, see.
Oh.
It made her have these like weird lumps.
Like oh my god. Oh, bulges, protrusions.
She's still so beautiful. Her face is so beautiful.
Oh, so the body like slightly we're seeing.
Yeah.
It.
So there's like parts of her body that are like yeah. And you understand, you know what it's like.
God.
Like one little thing can be off. You can have like one tiny pimple and it bothers you. So like, can you imagine your model?
Especially, one of the first supermodels. Yeah. Wait, can you go down? I just want to see if we see another.
I know. I want to see more disfigured photos.
So
I'm not going to lie.
So
M Sculpt, I recommend it, but I did it on my stomach. It didn't really do anything. Yeah. I think on the butt and the thigh is like the good place to do.
So it tones it and burns the fat.
Yeah, it's basically just doing squats. It's just
It's
making your body contract. So you're
and
just
And how
doing this.
Often do you have to do it?
I've only done it twice.
And you felt like right away you noticed?
Shit, Jesus.
Oh my God.
Look. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
This person did it on their chin and it's like fucked up.
Ugh,
look at her. She is stunning.
Ugh. That is gnarly.
I mean, look, if you have money, great. Do stuff. But like also just get a trainer.
Yeah.
Like having a trainer has changed my life.
So...
Like, changed my life.
I had a free trainer at Equinox for a year because he wanted to fuck me. And then it eventually, like, he like then
we should have a word for that. Like, what? When it's like, you know, it's a trade because he wants to fuck you. There should be a word for that. Oh, like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, it's a unicorn thing, or like, it's a thing. Yeah, like, it's a grape trade or whatever. Like, there needs to be a word.
But I pretended not to know, obviously.
Yeah, same.
So it was like, yeah.
That's when it's like, guys on my social media guy works with another comic, a guy comic, and he's like, just like respond to every. I'm like, no, you don't understand. It's different for us. Right, like, most of the guys are just there to like get a little fuck chat in. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's hard because I usually like, even if they say something mean, I'll be like, go check out my special.
Yeah.
Like, I just answer that way.
Anyways,
great search.
That was so uncomfortable though to watch all that stuff. Yeah, the baby stuff. Okay. Yeah. So, Comedy Store, I just want to work a little chronologically through.
Yeah, 2008, I'm at the Comedy Store. I finally do my very first show. Mm-hmm. Crazy Cindy upstairs, belly room. Yes. Do you remember her?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Crunchy hair. The mic smelled like shit. I had to bring like 30 people to get up. I still had friends who came to see me. So they came and it was like, I literally felt like I lifted out of my body. Like it was the most incredible. And it's funny because you look back at my old videos, my voice is even different. Like
really?
My voice is like, hi.
And was that something you were putting on?
Maybe. Yeah. Or maybe I just was like younger and my voice had, my balls hadn't dropped.
Right.
My pussy lips hadn't dropped. But I just feel like I just finally am becoming myself. And it took me a really long time. It's really hard to be an actor and have those things where you're like, I'm a chameleon. Mm-hmm. To then being like, who am I really?
Yes.
Like, what do I want to say? Like, I don't think I ever knew. I think I was just overtly sexual because that's what I think is funny. Mm-hmm. But I was never explaining like, hey, I'm overtly sexual because I'm Brazilian and that's how I was raised. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of people were turned off to me very early on because they thought that my comedy was shock value. Mm-hmm. When it was just really what I thought was funny. And I just wasn't writing my origin story well enough. Now, like everything I do is really like, I need you to get to know me. Cause like, then you can like me versus just like, who the fuck is this? Why is she humping? Like,
totally.
Why is she humping again? So that's it's, and in that, in doing that, I feel more confident in like who I am.
Yeah. And yeah. Then in sort of like discovering who am I, did you do any sort of like personal work?
Yeah. I've been doing a lot of, I mean, I've been going to therapy forever, but yeah. I think it's also like being with a partner who makes me feel very secure, mm-hmm. and who's very positive, mm-hmm. and who's not in the industry. Mm-hmm. Cause I think we get caught up in this sort of bubble of what's going on and what we see other people doing and, you know, comparisonitis. Yeah. And wait, what did you say?
Compare and despair.
Compare and despair. Exactly. And he keeps me very like even keeled and like I am on a mission. So
yeah, that's nice too, because then when you get home, you're like not in a green room. You can just talk about
did that thing. And that I can't.
It's exhausting.
It's like never a break from comedy. And yeah, just someone who like, you know, sees me for who I am versus, you know, not for what I do, which I think we have a hard time separating that. Our worth isn't what we fucking do. Like, so that's why I want to have a baby.
And then, so you started doing stand up and acting simultaneously.
Yeah.
You were on some sitcoms.
Yeah. Then like 2012, no, I would say 2013, I started like booking a lot of acting work. I did Two Broke Girls as my first job ever.
That's so fun.
Very exciting.
And then when everything started clicking, can you pinpoint anything that changed for you around that
time? I actually feel like things, like why I started booking stuff.
Yeah, like can you say like...
I think it was, I started auditioning for the same casting directors over and over again, and they started to kind of see my overall repertoire versus just like, oh, she maybe... You know,
not quite right for this, but we like her. It's like, oh, there's more opportunities here.
Right.
Like,
and I got really good at doing characters. Like I'd be like the dork, like I always would do like the very Italian New York-y girl. Like that was my first thing I booked. And I think there weren't a lot of like competitive people like that in that field. Like I was kind of one of the first to be like doing comedy and kind of in that. I feel like people who look like me, and I had really big fans, casting directors who would put me in stuff again. Julie Ashton was like one of the first women who started, and then, you know, Dorothy Frankel, like, I think it was just auditioning nonstop.
So did you love auditioning? Because I know it's like the energy too that you're bringing in with it.
I hate self-tapes. So I haven't booked anything theatrical in so long because I don't think I think my love and my energy doesn't translate. Like my vibration becomes very flat, which is like, you know.
But you like to be in the room with someone.
Yeah, I got like, so good at like calming myself down and being able to like be myself in the room and be like just a little funny and... Like just preparing, I learned how to prepare, and then I got.
And when you say preparing, is that working on the part or like,
yeah, working on the part and then also working on like, you know, not being super stressed out about like calming myself down.
Yeah.
Like,
what do you do for that?
Oh man, I had such a, I almost wrote a book about this.
Really?
Because I had kept every audition breakdown and a picture of myself from every commercial audition I had done. I had like 300 in a notebook.
That's cute.
And I was going to teach people like, if you go to this casting office, bring tennis shoes because you have to walk really long. Park at this place. Mm-hmm. Like, these are the snacks I pack. This is the makeup I keep in my car. Yeah. Like, just little like things. You know, I learned like little tricks mm-hmm. of the trade. And then when COVID hit, like, it kind of all went away and I've had to kind of recalibrate and
but
I'm not
there.
But
what about like calming yourself before
going
in?
Oh, I would do, I do a thing in the car.
Your best. Yeah.
I do a thing in the car where I would do a breathing exercises where I do like in five, out five, hold it at the top. I would listen to audiobooks. You're a Badass was like one, Jen Sincero was like a big
I
book.
Had that and yeah. I couldn't get through it.
Dude, don't read it. Listen to it.
I did.
You did?
I didn't
you couldn't?
Like it.
Oh, dude. Just like the little exercise in it were
I didn't get
so
further.
Helpful.
I didn't get that far.
Yeah. Well, you got to find the one that like
yeah.
fits your, like, because sometimes voices of people, I'm like,
I didn't
that
like,
doesn't
I didn't
blend
like
me.
The voice.
Yeah. If the voice isn't for you.
It, like, I hate the Headspace guy.
I love the Headspace guy. If it's not his voice, I'm like, get it out of here. What's his name?
I don't know.
The bald guy. I love Headspace. Wait, there's another one that's really good called Insight. Have you done that?
Insight Timer?
Yeah, I love it.
And then I started doing TM, so I didn't listen. Oh, that's him? That's
Andy.
So funny.
He's so cute.
He is kind of cute.
I love his voice so much, but the other day I was listening to one because I couldn't get internet, so I had to do it in time, and he was like, hi.
What?
That was really weird. I'm gonna maybe I can find it. It's like, we're gonna do the
I hate it was, the voices of all those kind of people.
Sometimes they sound like Khloe Courtney. Like, you know how she has that weird? I can't explain it.
I think so.
That weird, like, wow. Dang,
Yeah.
Yeah, if I'm laughing. But now my boyfriend and I are really into, like vibration and energy and meditating. So we listen to this thing that's, like...
Abraham Hicks.
Wait, are you into this stuff, too?
Esther Hicks.
Esther Hicks?
Yeah.
What's the... Oh, wait.
That's the same person.
Oh, okay, is
that's
it?
Like, Abraham Hicks is the person Esther Hicks channels.
Oh, I see. Interesting.
And that's like the law of attraction, like positive, that kind of stuff. Like one of those kind of people, like a Wayne Dyer type of
person. Because it's all vibration, right? Like, and I...
She's like the big one in vibrational.
We talk shit about ourselves because we think it's funny, right? Mm-hmm. Ha, ha, ha. But like those things are real. Like,
yeah.
It's like I used to make fun of Tony and all those guys because I call them delusionally confident. And I think there's something to that. Mm-hmm. Like, and it doesn't mean that you're a piece of shit. Like I would, on top of it, also be a good person.
Mm-hmm.
You're... Is Tony listening to this? Doubt it.
Definitely not.
But just taking that from there. I wish I was like delusionally confident from
you
the
are.
Beginning. Now I'm more than I've ever been.
You
but
weren't before?
No.
I'm so surprised to hear that.
No.
Because I feel like you're such a confident person.
Actress.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pretending?
Yeah. I think for a long time I pretended. Like, and I finally feel like I didn't even want to tell people to go to my shows. I'm like, they could, but they could also go
really?
See this show. And now I'm like, no, come see my show. I'm good. Like, it took me 15 years really to get here and a lot of weed. So, I wish I was just like that. I think it's because there was a lot of chaos in my life growing up, like with moving and like not feeling. And so I think my control was always keeping myself down. Like, and like not really being big.
Allowing yourself always, to be big and like not turning your light down and like being around people who do. Did you have that kind of, especially in this?
Well, these guys, like, I feel like they kept me down for a long time and maybe they didn't even do it. Maybe they weren't doing it on purpose, but it definitely, the outcome of it was I was like, I felt subdued by the guys around me for a very long time.
Yeah. How did you break away from that? Like, what do you do
well,
for
when
yourself
everybody
mentally
moved,
and psych- like just when, only then? But I feel like before that, though.
No, it like literally during COVID was when everything changed for me mentally.
Really?
I realized like how unhappy I was with like going all the time and not really like believing in myself and how exhausting it got to be. Like, I felt like I was like lying to myself.
Yeah.
And just like a lot of self-work. I do a lot of like journaling. I have a little thing that I wake up to and do like a little mantra. There's this guy named Saad. Do you know him?
No.
He's this Brazilian like healer dude. And he does a little calendar. And every morning it's like a little writing exercise or a little mantra.
So you have like a morning ritual.
Structure and ritual
Tell
is what changed my life.
Tell me about the rituals that you do on a daily basis.
Okay. So if I don't wake up and work out and then have a protein shake right away, it's over. The day's over. Like, oh, that's why
that's
in New York.
So good, you get it out of the way. So do you do that every morning?
Every morning. I usually walk, you know, like walking the dog is a big part of my movement thing too. Yeah. In New York, I was just waking up like running to get a protein shake, like help. Like it was just, I was so out of my routine. Like, and I think that's why the road is scary for me too. Cause I'm like, oh fuck, I get out. Now I take a Nutribullet.
Yeah.
Is there a to-go one? Do people know about a to-go Nutribullet?
I don't.
We need to, should I make one? I feel like that would be
cool. Isn't there a to-go Nutribullet?
Like that's not
you
really.
So you make the smoothies at home?
Yeah, I make them every day.
What are we putting in them?
We're putting spinach, chia seeds, cinnamon, protein, whey protein.
Whey protein. Which brand?
I'll send it to you. Okay. I'll send it to you. Maca powder, mushroom powder.
Mm. Elixir.
Yeah. Just a little.
Yeah, they have those.
Wait, that's a to-go one? No, but see, you still have to have this heavy thing. That's the problem. The base is like really heavy.
Traveling with the base.
Yeah, I want when I can like travel. Oh, that looks tiny.
Like a plastic.
Oh my God, is Sears still a store? Jesus.
Just the catalog.
That's cute. I'm going to buy this.
The store doesn't exist.
I'm going to buy this. This is my to-do
today. Wait, okay. So protein, what about, what liquid? Ice?
Oh, I do oat milk and then I do frozen fruits, like a bunch of frozen fruits, and that's my ice. Oh, I'm going to get that. I'm going to buy that. I need that. That looks tiny. Yeah. I never knew about protein.
Go.
Yeah. I'm going to get
on
that.
The go. Okay, great.
And this girl's cute.
Oh, when you plug it in your USB.
Yeah, literally. It looks tiny though. Like how much juice do you get?
That's weird.
This much.
Okay. Okay. So you're working. So that's, you're waking up, you're doing the shake, the workout. Yeah.
The walk outside, being outside is like, if I stay in bed and I look at my phone for more than 30 minutes,
depressed. Yeah.
Like the day is over. Like my boyfriend wakes up at like 5 a.m, by the way.
Finance hot. We love it.
Finance. He poops for like an hour.
Yeah, I know.
Does his affirmations. Yeah. Like he's really big on affirmations.
Steven?
Is that him? Really?
Affirmations.
Yeah.
In the bathroom for an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. And then news, and then sends me a million reels on Insta, showers, and then goes to work. It's cool.
Are you drinking coffee before this workout, though?
No, this is rare. I don't drink coffee.
So is this an intermittent? Oh, you don't at all?
No, I only drink tea. Yeah. Okay. But.
So then what?
Then the day starts. I usually have like 4 podcasts and then 2 shows, so that's like usually my day, like and then an audition every once in a while. Or
how do you sustain your energy doing all of this all day?
I burn out often. Like I'll have little moments of I nap a lot. I almost always nap
4 podcasts a day. That's crazy.
I'll usually nap from like 5 to 7 or like 5 to 6 is like the time that I do for like dinner and nap, like because then I'll be up all night. Like after a show, I'm up for like 2-3 hours. Like that's when I organize.
Oh, really? So you're being clean?
Oh, yeah. I'm
like,
really
what's your closet? What are you organizing? Like a bathroom cabinet?
I'm like wiping surfaces, dusting, watering the plants. I talk to my plants.
Oh, you do?
Sometimes I'll get in the mood to reorganize drawers. Mm-hmm. So I pull everything out, Marie Kondo the shit out of it, put it back in.
Yes.
It's my control. It's my the way I soothe.
Yeah.
I've learned. That's a new thing I learned from the therapist.
And then how was your experience with the soup? I mean, I love the show growing up.
I mean, it was
up.
An incredible. I mean, what a dream.
Like,
it was my dream job.
Was that?
It was incredible. I learned so much.
What was the process like for auditioning for that?
Oh my God. It was so crazy. Because
how many times?
I only had one audition.
Amazing.
One. And the two other girls there were very talented. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
did you know them?
I did. Yeah. Okay. They're comics. New York girls. And I knew they wanted to be more positive, so I kind of kept it in that vein. And they sent me the material. I completely like rewrote it, tagged the shit out of it, memorized
just
it.
Just to show them what you could do.
Yeah, just to show what I could do. And I remember like I wore a Reformation dress. I was very proud. The first time I did it was like a green screen test, and like the soup logo was behind me, like the original one. And Tom, the producer who used to do all the guy with the laugh was there. And it was just like, and then I finished it and I went to Annie Roberts, who was the exec, and I just cried. And she like hugged me as I cried. I was like, she was like, you did a great job. I was like, thank you so much. I just knew it was like mine.
So
like,
oh, so like the fact that you went up to the producer after and cried, like
we like held it, we like hugged.
Was
and
that
I cried.
Because you had like an initial, like, did you know her?
I knew her from like other stuff, but like this
but, like,
was
to
just
go and
meant
do that,
so much
was
to
that,
me.
Like a move, like, hey, I'm
no, it wasn't.
With you,
I just
like,
literally,
close.
I just like broke down because it was such a dream.
Exhilarating.
Like, it was so exhilarating, and it went so well. It just really fit.
You just felt it.
Yeah, it really fit. And oftentimes I eat shit, and I'll get something, and I don't think I did well, but But yeah, it was that. And then they told me, and then I couldn't tell anybody.
How far after did they tell you?
Months.
So you were wondering.
I thought I didn't get it.
Yeah.
After a while, I just hadn't heard. And so I went back to New York. I was going to work on this like View show for mm-hmm. NBC. I was like kind of already in the works with it. Mm-hmm. And then my managers fired me.
What?
Yeah. And then I got another manager. I don't know. I had tested a lot that season and I hadn't booked anything. Uh-oh. So I think
that's crazy.
And I'm yeah.
What fools?
I know, what fools. But then when I booked the soup, they sent it to them by accident. And they were like, oh shit. I was like, yeah, I have another manager.
How good does that feel?
Well, man, I wish they didn't fire me. So not that good, but it was a good moment. Like, should have kept me.
Of course.
And yeah, I was in New York. They told me, and then they were like, and you can't tell anyone. And I was like,
did
what?
You tell?
I didn't tell like anyone.
One person.
Oh, I told.
Because you didn't want to jinx it too.
Yeah. I told a bunch of like my close friends. And like,
so how long did you have to wait? And when they told you, were you like.
Like 4 or 5 months.
What?
I was like numb. I was like. Like just calling my dad because my dad was a big comedy fan. I was like, Dad, I'm the host of The Soup. And he was like, what? It was such a moment. Yeah. And then I just got to be in New York for a while celebrating. And then this crazy thing happened where all the execs that hired me got fired from E.
Oh, okay. So and were you worried that things would shift?
Yeah, we didn't hear anything from another like 4 months. So already now it's been like a year since I booked it. And we haven't even started shooting.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah. So then we start shooting. And we finally get in a rhythm and we're episode five and then the COVID stuff starts happening and we're like, we're not actually going to be shut down. And then we're about to film the sixth one and they were like, we can't come into work today. And that's when it all went to shit. And then we filmed while it was COVID from my house a little. And then we did 8 episodes of just me in the set, me, my showrunner, 2 cameras to silence, which was hard. Yeah.
Oh, it was live before?
Yeah, we had an audience before.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and even if it wasn't like a paid audience, we had like 30, 40 people, like execs would come or like writers would be out there. Like,
and how do you do with that?
The silence was...
No, with having all the execs there.
Oh, it's like having a comedy show. No.
Really?
Yeah, no. If anything, it was harder to have them in my ear, like, you know, like at home watching because I couldn't be loose in between. Mm-hmm. Like, at least I could present...
Like, oh, what was that note?
Yeah, they could like hear me talk. They could hear me talking all day. So I just like couldn't really be myself. And they did everything they could. We did everything they could. And then they canceled it. And it was, I think it took me a long time to get over it, to even like publicly speak about it because I didn't even really understand. Like the whole thing was so big and it never, the promotion, like I did probably over 1,000 interviews for it.
Wow.
And it came out in 13 different countries.
That's incredible.
It was incredible. Mm-hmm. I just was doing promo stuff. And then it just never got to be. So I think it was like heartbreaking. It was, it's probably my biggest heartbreak in the industry so far.
Wow.
Yeah.
I saw it so differently. Yeah. You know, I'm like, oh my God, like she's the host of The Soup, like the first female host.
No, Aisha Tyler had done it.
Oh.
Second.
Who?
Aisha Tyler. What?
I don't know who that
is. Don't you love her? Aisha? Oh my God, I'm such a fan. Show her. You'll know who she is once you see her photo.
But you were the memorable one.
Well, she got to do it a little longer than I did. Aisha Tyler, you know her. Oh, I love her so much.
I don't know why I can't think of her. Well, either way.
Yeah, she's amazing. She was in Friends. She was the girlfriend in Friends. That was like a big role that she did.
You know, I did not like Friends.
Wait, Chelsea, don't say that stuff out loud. Okay. Redeemed.
One or the other.
It's one or the other?
Yeah, one or the other.
I like both. I love both. I love Friends. I still watch it sometimes.
So
Soup happened, that canceled.
Yeah.
And then I was like, what? And then I just was kind of lost, I think. I think I was a little bit lost because they also didn't want me to post about it. They asked me not to post because I think that they just didn't. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I think they just didn't want to. They weren't ready to like cancel it. And I think they were trying to help me too, but it actually kind of hindered me because people would be like, you're still working on The Soup though, right? And I'm like, no.
Like, what's the right answer for that?
Right. They didn't know. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't really talk about it. I mean, my good friends knew and people still come up to me. They're like, how's The Soup? I'm like, you obviously didn't watch it's been off the air for like a year now. But then when I heard about this Hotties thing, this new opportunity, I was like, oh my God, it's perfect. Like,
yeah.
It's my chance to redeem myself. And then I ate shit at the audition. Like, it was so bad.
You did? What happened?
It was a Zoom audition in Cam's mom's basement. I was in Colorado for like a visit. And Like, she's talking on the phone, the connection's bad. Yeah. Like, I keep messing up. Like, can I do that again? Can I do that again? Mm-hmm. And my manager shows up by accident.
In the room?
In the Zoom. Like, hey, guys. We're like, you're not supposed to be here. It was just, like, everything that could have gone wrong.
Yeah, like a million things. But how funny is it that it worked out?
It worked out.
So then that was just in your head that they still liked you and you shone through.
Well, yeah. Scott Goldstein, the casting director, was a fan, and he really cut my tape well. And I think he, like, added other clips that were able to show, like, And then I got it, and it's just like, and then it took a year for that to come out. Mm-hmm. So we filmed that last year. So it just came out.
So yeah, with like filming things and just that like waiting period, how do you handle that waiting period?
I don't, I'm really bad at it. I have no patience. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I filmed something that just filmed it like 3 weeks ago. It comes out in May next year. I'm like, what? Yeah. It's so long. I want to see it now. I have zero patience.
But it's just working on something else.
Yeah. I think it's also like not being attached to the result of things and being really more into like doing it. Mm. Because I was so nervous, like putting out the special, like, oh my God, it's what if it doesn't get 100,000? It's like, doesn't have that many views. And I'm like, it's out. Mm-hmm. Like I'm getting so much better at being disattached. Like all I want to do is hang out with my niece and my family.
Aww.
Like that's my number one priority. So everything that I do is to make money so that I can buy a house in Virginia.
Oh, so you want to have a house
I want to have a house there so I can like hang out with my family and see my niece grow up and, you know, maybe have a baby or a family of my own. But like, yeah, just changing my priorities a little bit.
I love that. And then
that was the last thing that I kind of did, but hopefully more stuff to come.
Totally. And then you opened a lot for Kevin Nealon.
Yeah, I was on the road with him for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you ever, is there anything that you ever like took away from being with him? He's so
much
funny. Like anything that you can like think of off the top of your head.
He's brilliant. He's charismatic. He's nice to everyone. Mm-hmm. Literally, even if we're having a private conversation and someone gets in his face, he'll take a photo with them. Like just his grace, like the way he carries himself. He's just so sweet. And also just like loves comedy. Like in a way that I don't like, like these guys fucking live, die, breathe. Right. And I'm like, I like it. no, I love it. But just I think in a different way.
Yeah.
And it's just so cool hearing his stories. And I learned a lot about like, cause I was with Bobby on the road for a long time. Like they couldn't be more different. Mm-hmm. And he's someone that was always encouraging me to write more. And I was like, whatever, Kevin, I got this great pussy joke. Let me tell it. And even last night I did his show at the Laugh Factory. He's like, you always bring me down to your dirty shit. I'm like, I'm sorry. But yeah, he was just a huge inspiration for me. I mean, he's been doing it for so long and still on the road and like just sold out shows and every time different too. Like none of his hours are ever the same. Wow. And like just the way he organizes and writes and it's fun being on the road with him because you get to stay at a really nice hotel and the show's sold out. Unlike my going on the road with myself, which is it's harder when you become a headliner and you have to do all that yourself.
Worrying about filling
seats. Yeah. And he also taught me a lot of stuff about packing. Like I'm really, really, you know, medicine bottles. Mm-hmm. That's where he puts like all his lotions and shampoos. They're actually like nothing falls out. So that's like a great to go case. If you just got a bunch of medicine bottles laying around, which I know I do.
And then we'll end on this work ethic. I feel like you have incredible work ethic.
Oh, thanks, man.
Where does that come from? And like, how do you stay focused and show up? And all that.
I think it all started because when I came to America, I was already like finished with fourth grade and I was about to start fifth grade. But because we came like in the middle of the year, I had to go back to fourth grade. Oh. And I think I've always had this thing where I felt a little behind. Like I always had to work a little extra harder to get back to fifth grade.
Right.
So I think that's like a trauma. And I've always been really academic. And I just want to like do my best all the time. I just want to keep moving until I can't anymore. I don't know. And I think if you really love something, you just like, got to make it work.
Totally.
You know? And on days that I feel shitty, it's like, just got to pretend like I don't feel shitty. It's like the Rihanna thing. Like, what else are you going to do? Be in bed crying all day?
Wait,
I mean, not that that's
mean,
bad.
The Rihanna thing?
Here, pull up the Rihanna quote and we'll end on this.
Yeah.
Rihanna saying, fake it till you make it. Let's see what comes up. There you go.
Is it a TikTok?
Yeah.
Or she said,
yeah, it's a TikTok.
Fake.
Yeah, that's it. Does it play?
Okay.
Wait, put up some volume.
Those days you don't feel confident or fearless.
Wait, put up with the volume and do it from the beginning.
Can we hear it in here?
Why not?
Okay,
we can we rewind?
Start over. This is a great thing
this
to end
what
on.
We end on.
So, ladies, this is for you.
Those days that you don't feel that confident or fearless or powerful like you did out there.
Pretend.
Fake it.
Yeah.
Until we make it.
I mean, why not? It's either that or cry myself to sleep. Who wants to do that? You wake up with puffy eyes the next day. That's a waste. Of tears.
That's so funny.
I literally
and
like
I really relate.
I literally play
eyes.
This video. I literally play
you
this
do?
Video. Yeah, yeah. I have a lot of
and
like.
It gets you out of bed.
It gets me out of bed. I'm like, bitch, I gotta get out of bed. When am I gonna cry myself back to bed? It's 6 a.m. Let's go.
That's so funny. So where can we watch your special and shout out anything else you want to?
Oh yeah, please, everybody, watch Hotties. It's on Hulu. All 10 episodes are streaming right now. They're bingeable. Go get your little butts off the seat, or you know, sit on a couch, watch it, and then you can watch my special at Helium Comedy Studios on YouTube, and then all my dates are going to be on my website at jadecatapretta.com, and then I also have a musical that I'm releasing on October 20th
what?
At moment.co. Yeah, it's my hour, but I did it as a musical with
oh
songs with a full band. I filmed it during COVID when like
that's
nobody
so
was doing
fun.
Shit. And so I'm finally releasing it. It's going to be like up for 2 weeks. So buy your tickets now because they're going to sell out, hopefully, October 20th. It's all going to go live on September 29th. It's moment.co/jade. That's where you can find that.
And on social.
Jade Catapretta.
Thank you.
Bye.